I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship.
Thank you. We have two addenda, and they are related to the same topic. The first relates to a bylaw, notification of a bylaw passed by the Regional Council with respect to the addition of a council representative for the Township of West Lincoln. And the second addendum is with respect to a delegation from the Township of West Lincoln. And that will be Delegation C. In terms of announcements, a few brief announcements. The Greater Fort Erie Secondary School Theater hosted over the past two weekends a theater performance by the Dominion Repertory Theater Group called Independence Please, Canadian Christmas Carol. It's a fantastic event, very well attended, and I'm pleased to say that the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee was at the event on this past Saturday evening. They had made a contribution towards the cost of the theater program, and there were several of the members of the committee who were actually participating in the performance, some as actresses and some as stagehands, and I believe the stage manager also was one of the MIAC members. So that was really quite impressive, and everybody that I spoke to was thoroughly impressed by the theater, and I think that is going to hold great things for our community. Second thing is Councillor Butler and I participated in a housing coalition meeting here at the town hall last week, and dealing with the issue of affordable housing in Fort Erie, as well as emergency shelters and essentially housing for people who are in need of shelter. We received some information relative to what's going on in other parts of the region, and so I'll be bringing forth a notice of motion later on. But it is an issue that does affect our community, particularly as the cost of housing is increasing in our community, just like it is elsewhere in Niagara. The third thing is a reiteration of announcement made last week, and that is that the Snowbirds are expected to come to Fort Erie on September the 19th, 2018. You recall that they were scheduled to be in Fort Erie last summer. That was canceled at the last minute because of training requirements, and so they are going to be coming back in 2018. On December the 5th, there was an open house held. I don't usually talk about open houses, but this one related to the proposed development of Harbortown, and was probably one of the most well-attended open houses that I've seen in a long time. It relates to the development at Erie Beach, or some of you may know as Waverly Beach. A lot of interest in protecting and preserving the wooded area just north of the Friendship Trail. And so a lot of positive information, a lot of concerns were provided to our staff and to the councillors who were in attendance. And that will be followed up sometime in the new year with an official public meeting under the Planning Act. And again, we will be able to hear and receive comments and information from interested residents as well as the developer. I just wanted to alert the community to something that we've just put up on our website relative to water scams. And again, recently the town of Fort Erie has received notice that water customers within the Niagara region are being solicited by phone or door-to-door sales people expressing various tactics to attempt to pitch the sale of in-home water purification systems. And these may include statements that the municipal tap water supply is not adequate or even unsafe. These sales calls are neither endorsed nor commissioned by the town of Fort Erie nor the region of Niagara nor any other municipality in Niagara because the water here continues to meet or exceed all provincial drinking water standards. And the town has certified licensed drinking water system operators who are available to respond to any questions that members of the public might have about Fort Erie's water quality. And if you do have any questions, you can call the town at 905-871-1600. And a copy of the Town of Fort Erie Annual Drinking Water Quality Report is on our website at www.forterie.ca. And you can follow the links then to the water and water services documentation. And finally, this is the last council meeting of 2017. So on behalf of all of the members of council, I'd like to wish the community, all the residents of the town of Fort Erie, a very Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. That then takes us to business. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Number 14, consideration of bylaws, 134-2017, as my business does business with that company.
That relate to the Oaks at Six Mile Creek? Thank you. Any others? Madam Clerk, I have a conflict with respect to presentation delegation item B, which is with respect to the Crystal Ridge Community Center, since I'm a member of the Ridgeway Lions Club, which is closely affiliated with the Crystal Ridge Community Center. So when we get to that, I will ask Councillor Zanko to take over the chair. If there are no other disclosures of pecuniary interest, I just mentioned that we have some upcoming budget meetings. Our third Council and Budget Committee meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, January the 10th. We'll be reviewing the Economic Development and Tourism Corporation and the Fort Erie Public Library budgets. On January 24th, 2018, we'll be looking at the General Levy Operating Budget and Assessment Analysis. If necessary, we'll have a fifth budget meeting on January the 31st, 2018. All budget meetings begin at 6 o'clock here in the Town Hall Council Chambers. We anticipate adopting the water and wastewater budget and rates bylaw on January the 22nd, and if all goes well, the general levy budget on February the 28th, 2018. That then takes us to regional councillor report. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship.
Almost skipped by you. How could I miss somebody
that's okay.
as big as you?
And my apologies. I know I've missed the last couple of regional council reports. My apologies to council. I was away delegating in Port Coburn and Waynesley. So it's a very comprehensive report. So if you indulge me, I'm going to be a little wordy this evening just because there is a lot of information. So we will start off with the intermunicipal transit and the MOU that has been established. Now, later in the evening, I know that Matt Robinson from the region will be making that presentation to council. He can describe it a whole lot more efficiently and a whole lot more effectively than I can. And what he'll talk about is the GO Transit and certainly the intermunicipal transit, which now has a new name. And he'll be sharing those details with this council and certainly the gallery very shortly. Regional Council did submit a application for a National Trade Corridors Fund application. Now, this is one of the initiatives that Regional Council has been very, very bullish on, and that's how do we increase our presence within the global market. And certainly getting the FTZ, the Foreign Trade Zone, was very, very welcome news. So specific facts to the National Trade Corridors Fund application. On September 5th, 2017, an expression of interest was submitted by staff to the Natural Trade Corridors Fund. The expression of interest was accepted by Transport Canada, and subsequently an application to the fund was submitted on November 6, 2017. The application, which is a prescriptive format determined by Transport Canada, seeks federal funding to build the key elements of the Niagara-Hamilton Trade Corridor Phase 1. It's the Niagara GTA East-West Arterial Project between Highway 140 and the QEW. Projects will be evaluated by Transport Canada during November and December 2017 and funding decisions made in January 2018. So the financial considerations, the project cost is $60 million. Currently, it will be funded by $10.6 million from the Province of Ontario Grant, Development Charge Fund of $13.4 million, National Trade Corridor Fund of $30 million, and the Niagara Region Tax Levy of $6 million. So again, increasing our presence, and certainly this is something that Fort Erie is certainly primed to capitalize on, given our geographic location. So it's excellent news. Keep our fingers crossed that we are successful as the federal government looks at that application. Regional Council also approved the additional to have the to have the conversation of West Lincoln acquiring one more regional representation. I understand Councillor Terry Bell is here representing West Lincoln, and he'll be delegating very shortly to explain to you the needs in West Lincoln. That was approved at the regional level. I understand there's still lots of work to be done, whether or not the provincial government and certainly the regional government allows another representative. But I think what it does is it spurs on the conversation of governance and just to see what is appropriate with respect to regional government and, you know, maybe re-looking at some of those metrics. Is it appropriate, the number that we have now? Do we have over-representation? Are we underrepresented? So those conversations are certainly welcome, and they'll be taking place. But I just want to make it very clear that this is a separate issue that Councillor Bell will be speaking to. Also of interest, and again, you talk about those burning platform issues in Niagara, and we talk about the opiate crisis. Very, very prescient with respect to what we do in Niagara. So I will confirm that the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care of Public Health funding, specific to the opiate crisis, has given the Niagara region $250,000. How that money will be allocated, we will creating staff positions to support local opiate response initiatives. This funding has been allocated to one full-time harm reduction program coordinator, one full-time addiction statistician, and a 0.5 full-time health promoter community outreach worker. Of note, the funding allocation from the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care has been frozen for 3 years. It stayed at 0%. But they have funded this specific program, which I think is a very worthy program. And if we can implement some strategies in order how we can best affect change with respect to the opiate crisis here in Niagara, I think it's money well spent. Moving on to waste management. The region did approve its waste management budget. And again, it's a minus 1.02%. So it is decreased at the region level, waste management. Some reasons, the market for certainly recyclables had something to do with it, but again, it's a decrease of 1.02%. Capital improvements to the Bridge Street drop-off depot, $818,000 we were the recipients of, but I will make note of the curbside waste and recycling delays that we've been experiencing here in Fort Erie. I just want to give you a brief synopsis of why we were experiencing those delays. Contributing factors to the late collection are a lack of personnel due to staffing changes and increased number of unplanned daily absences and daily mechanical downtime due to the aging fleet. MTERRA is doing their best to address these situations. And I know as a counselor, I get lots of questions. My garbage hasn't been collected, or they're 2 days late, they're 3 days late. All I can do as a regional rep is to preach patience. MTERRA is trying to work through their problems, but again, it's a staffing issue. The region is fully aware of the situation, and by all means, if anyone is experiencing those delays in garbage collection, please pass them on to myself, and we will try to make accommodations to get those that garbage collected as quickly as possible. But again, staffing issues at the MTERRA level, and we're monitoring it and keeping our eye on it. Water and wastewater is an increase of 2%, so we stayed within guidance, and I just want to break that down a little bit. Water was an increase of 1.9%. Wastewater was an increase of 2.2%. So overall, it's a 2% increase or $2.2 million to that budget. But I will make the comment that a full 1% of that is attributable to the cost, to the increased cost of hydro. So without the increased cost of hydro, it would have been a 1% increase in water, wastewater. I just wanted to make a special note of that. But again, it met regional council's guidance of 2%. Overall, the tax levy has been approved at 2%. So I will say the largest impact was a 4.5% budget increase in the Niagara Regional Police budget. So if NRP was able to reach guidance, the overall impact would have been a 1.1% increase. So overall, over the last 4 years, it works out to an average of 1.25% increase in the year-over-year tax levy. So an average Niagara home assessed at $248,200, the regional property taxes will increase by $28 for all of 2018 to $1,461. And again, the average annual property tax increase over the last 4 years is 0.25%. So again, staying within within guidance, being responsible and responsive to the challenges that homeowners have throughout the Niagara region. Some of the highlights from that budget are important to note. So millions of dollars to support affordable housing, and Your Worship, you mentioned it with Councillor Butler, pressing issues here in Niagara, affordable housing. We welcome the recent news of the federal government announcing the Canada National Housing Strategy and committing $40 billion over the next 10 years. So it is welcome news. Some key investment in road repairs, specifically to the town of Fort Erie. We've seen the good work on Central Avenue and the Central Avenue Bridge. Dominion Road has started already. That's a $22 million road project. And again, on the horizon coming up in the future, we have road improvements around the CMS development. We have road improvements coming up on Gilmore Road, and we have road improvements coming up on Dominion Road from Helena to Lakeshore. So again, we're tackling the Buffalo to Burley section right now, coming on the horizon next year, hopefully, Helena to Lakeshore. And we have some more road improvements coming up to Stevensville Road and Stevensville Bridge. Welcome news to Councillor Nutt, I'm sure. Moving on with some of the other highlights, $3 million for new buses to enhance our intermunicipal transit, $15 million in upgrades to the Port Dalhousie sewage treatment plant. But I will make special note that the region has tendered the contract to the Rosehill sewage treatment plant, $14,077,000 for the Rosehill treatment plant. So again, Fort Erie is a recipient of some very large capital improvement. One additional 24-hour ambulance in the face of soaring 9/11 medical calls, brand new regional health clinic on Garrison Road, and we put that in a couple of years ago, and it is very well utilized by the community. More frontline police officers, and at this time I sent an email to council, but I would like to publicly acknowledge our new staff sergeant Kim McAllister to Fort Erie as the new 5 district commander. She will be replacing Staff Sergeant Darren Forbes, who has been recently promoted to inspector and is now assigned the NRPS duty officer. So on behalf of myself and certainly the community, we want to wish Kim McAllister all the best as a new staff sergeant. We've already had a great meeting with her at our BIA, and she's committed to working with us and installing some community policing initiatives. So that's good news as well. Again, more money to support Niagara Specialized Transit. And as you know, this is a service that provides vulnerable people with trips to places such as medical appointments. And it is a very valuable service. And we're glad to make more investments in that as well. So having said that, I will leave it up to your worship if any members of council have any questions.
The region did pass a bylaw based on regulation 40717 passed by the Minister of Housing, Minister of Municipal Affairs, which permits the expansion of regional council to add an additional councillor from West Lincoln, provided the triple majority is met. So that horse is now out of the barn, and now it's a matter of West Lincoln being able to persuade its colleagues.
12 municipal councils, correct.
7 out of 12 representing a majority of the population. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Annunziata, that's a great budget, I think. It went well into our favor, but I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
The first one is with respect to the ambulance service adding an additional 24 hours. Can you clarify that for me? Does that mean 24 hours, 7 days a week?
Yeah, so to your point, it seemed a little oxymoronic to suggest that an ambulance wouldn't be 24/7. So it is 24/7. It's an additional ambulance in order to take on some of the load that we've been seeing with respect to 9/11 calls. So yes, that is welcome news. I know we did have discussions 2 years ago where I believe one of those ambulances was cut through the budgeting process. We're happy to add that at this time now.
I'm happy that you're adding that as well. And then I have a question with respect to the consolidation of public transit across the region. So the region has made a commitment to spend some funds towards that. Can you tell me what that's going to look like and when we can expect that consolidation will take place? Do you have any idea?
Those are all great questions. And like I said, I'm probably going to refer to Matt, who's going to speak to those issues. I know the MOU has been crafted. It lays out the governance model. It lays out the commitment in some respect as far as contributing financial partners. I know that there were many councils all across the region that had some concerns with respect to that MOU, Waynefleet being one of them, as far as, you know, what is it exactly that you want us to contribute to the intermunicipal transit? And I know this council had concerns as well. So I'm hoping that Mr. Robinson can kind of expand on my answer and answer your questions with a little bit more detail.
Thank you. And then one last question with respect to the $3 million towards intermunicipal transit, and that's just to replace buses, or what is that exactly for?
So that was a commitment for, and I will pull that up for you. That was a commitment for new buses to enhance intermunicipal transit. So you are correct. So as we see the fleet that we have with respect to Welland, St. Catharines, and Niagara Falls, understanding there's gaps that have to be filled, Regional Council has committed $3 million for new buses to enhance the intermunicipal transit. Again, I'm sure Mr. Robinson can expand on that as far as what exactly that means. What does $3 million get you as far as buses go? And how does it fit within the overall intermunicipal plan?
Thank you, Your Worship. So just one last comment and question with respect to the opioid crisis and the dedication of $250,000 towards strictly to staff. It is a start. I agree with you. It's really not enough money to assist in the problem, but at least it's a start. And then I'll wait until and then I'll come back.
Okay, we'll see if there are any other councillors. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to the regional councillor. In regards to the $6 million contribution that you mentioned regarding the Niagara-Hamilton corridor, you said would be funded from the general levy. Will that be from a reserve, or will that be a provisional tax put in place that we'll have to pay and then removed at a later date?
Sorry, to your questions. Good question. It's already been budgeted within the 2018 budget, and it's specifically coming from the Niagara region tax levy. So $6 million will be coming from the budget. Where that is, whether it's from our transportation budget, whether it's from another line item budget, I can get that information from you, but specifically that will be funded from the Niagara Region tax levy, $6 million. And again, I'll repeat, the Province of Ontario grant, $10.6 million, Development Charges Fund, $13.4 million, National Trade Corridor Fund, $30 million, and the Niagara Region tax levy, $6 million. But I will get the exact specific account where that money will be coming from.
Councillor Nutt.
Yes, thank you. And just to follow up to that, because there's been discussion over the years about a mid-peninsula corridor, how will this will provision be made that if the province ever decides to move forward with that, that this will link up with that as well?
So as you know, a lot of these initiatives are about branding. So as far as I know, no one likes to use that terminology anymore, the mid-pen corridor. I know MP Badaway is a huge, huge proponent of formerly the Mid-Penn Corridor. Now he's pushing it as, I believe it's a 400 series highway, and I think he wants to call it the 402. So again, I don't know where it fits within the overall scheme at the provincial level, but right now it's envisioned as a GTA corridor, and the first phase is Niagara-Hamilton project. That will be a Niagara GTA East, East-West arterial. So again, and that would be between Highway 140 and, yes, so it's right along Highway 140, connecting to the Highway 140. And again, the Transportation Master Plan approved by Council on July 20th identified that a Niagara-Hamilton trade corridor that connects the Niagara region from Fort Erie to Hamilton in the vicinity of Hamilton International Airport, Highway 403, is required to address the immediate and longer-term demands of moving goods in and through the Niagara region as an alternative route to the congested QEW corridor. So Fort Erie to Hamilton, that's the envisioned corridor that they're talking about.
Any other councillors? Then back to you, Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had one more question with respect to the opioid new staffing. Is there going to be a committee that will be formed as part of the region to include the communities?
That's a great question. So what I'd like to do is spell out the key facts. Medical officers of health and the Board of Health received notice of their base and one-time funding from the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care on November 15th. Niagara received essentially a 0% increase to base funding, with the exception of $250,000 funding for opiate mitigation strategies, which was previously reported to Council. Niagara Region Public Health did receive one-time funding in the amount of $334,000 to support some capital and one-time personnel initiatives. This 0% increase has been factored into the Council-approved budget, and so there are no surprises for this year. That's in the report. But specific to your questions, I really don't know what the rollout is going to be, but I do know there is a list, a very long list, probably about 15 long, of community partners that will be playing a very vital role with respect to education, with respect to communication, with respect to strategies in order to engage the communities, how best to utilize that $250,000. I envision that the full-time positions that will be created will be the leads on this particular file, and they will be doing the liaisoning with our municipal partners. But I will pass that that report on to you, and you can see specifically who these partners are and what their involvement at this stage will be. I know Salvation Army is a partner. I know Bridges Health Community is a partner. And there's a lot of other partners throughout the Niagara region that want to get on board. They've actually brought this to the attention of Niagara region. And a lot of times people, you know, kind of thumb their noses at it because they think it's a provincial issue. Healthcare is a provincial issue. But when we see people dying and people suffering in our own community, it's time for Niagara region to step up. And hopefully we've set the course now how we can go about putting a strategy together, because it is a crisis. No one wants to use the word crisis, but I firmly believe it is a crisis.
Councillor Butler, I just forwarded to you report PhD 26-2017, which we dealt with about a week and a half ago, and that would supplement comments made by Councillor Annunziata.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? If not, thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata.
My pleasure.
Very, very informative. That takes us then to presentations and delegations, and I'm gathering Mr. Robinson is here. I can't see him, but perfect. So Matt Robinson is going to provide us with some background information about the consolidated transit model for Niagara. Good evening.
So good evening, Mayor Redekop and members of Council. Thank you for the opportunity to present tonight. I would first like to recognize the leadership and support of Fort Erie, particularly you, Mayor Redekop, for your work in getting the transit discussion to where we find ourselves today. Together with Councillor Annunziata, your continued support for the future of transit is strong and incredibly valuable. I would also like to recognize the contribution of Kelly Walsh and Carla Stout, who at the staff level have been hands-on assets advancing the work done to date. So thank you all for your leadership, support, and contributions towards moving transit forward. So as part of the passage of Regional Bylaw 2017-21, the transit triple majority in June of this year, part of that commitment at the time was to bring back an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, that would lay out at a high level what the principles would be for the primary transit providers to agree on as we proceeded forward. The MOU lays out the high-level manner in which Welland, St. Catharines, Niagara Falls, and Niagara Region, whose ridership comprises of 98% of Niagara's transit travels occurring within the areas supported by these transit authorities, will continue to work together towards the consolidated model as laid out in what we commonly refer to as the Dillon Report, which the image you see on your screen. It also recognizes the importance and contribution of what we refer to as feeder systems, such as Fort Erie, Pelham, Port Colborne, Niagara on the Lake, and Lincoln, and the overall success of the future of transit in Niagara. The MOU provides a key underlying support to guide larger transit initiatives underway in Niagara through membership on the Linking Niagara Transit Committee, of which Mayor Redekop is a voting member. The MOU also provides for active staff-level engagement on the IMT, Intermunicipal Transit, working group, where Mr. Walsh is an active and key participating member. The LNTC will be the governance body responsible for taking the blueprint laid out in the Dillon Report and implementing the recommendations. As mentioned, Mayor Redekop is a member of that committee. The LNTC will also be responsible for leading government relations activities, particularly related to gas tax with the Ministry of Transportation, coordinating marketing and branding for intermunicipal transit, such as the icons that you see on the presentation, and directing the tasks and work plan of the IMT Working Group and being champions for transit in Niagara. To be clear, the LNTC is not the new governance structure. It is a transition body tasked with advancing many of the key recommendations in the Dillon Report for regional and local council consideration. A future model and governance structure will be developed and recommended by the LNTC as part of its work plan. So the key highlight of the MOU is that throughout the consolidation process, the MOU lays out clearly that local authority is maintained as it relates to local routes, funding, capital, and operations. This will all remain where it does now, under the authority of the local councils. Additionally, the assets of each transit authority remain just that, under local authority and ownership. So the simple principle we've been using going forward is nothing about you without you. It is envisioned a future decision point will be to determine the status and role of each locally owned and operated transit system in any type of new model. The MOU gives the LNTC the mandate to pursue those options and bring forward recommendations. It's also equally important to note what is not contained in the MOU. The financial analysis required to clearly and succinctly articulate the financial cost of any next steps that impact the current transit authorities will be undertaken as part of the LNTC's work plan in 2018. Again, this will include staff from each of the transit providers who will be a part of that financial analysis team. Any financial or service changes envisioned as part of the consolidated model affecting local interests in any way will be brought back to local councils for decision. The 2018 work plan has been developed and shared with the LNTC. Over the next 18 months, the committee will embark on things such as implementation of moderate service enhancements detailed in the Dillon Report, focus on a number of customer-facing initiatives aimed at improving the customer experience, including consolidated transit route maps, schedule production, technology integration, and standardizing the common service guidelines across the network. It will also develop an integrated business plan and commence a financial distribution analysis strategy, among many other things. And I note, all while keeping the buses rolling. I guess lastly, before my final slide, I am pleased to announce, as Councillor Annunziata had made reference to, that on Thursday past, Regional Council was the fourth signatory to the four-member MOU to pass that MOU, and it is now in effect, and the work of the Linking Niagara Transit Committee will begin in earnest in January of 2018. So with that, I pass it back to the Mayor, and I'm happy to take any questions that Council may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robinson. That was very efficient. And really a good news story for all of Niagara.
Certainly is.
Any members of Council have any questions? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Mr. Robinson, in reference to the Dillon Report, it didn't really speak to people that are on the shore of Lake Erie very effectively, and they really kind of glossed over the lack of transit there. As populations push out of Toronto and housing prices are cheaper closer to the lake in Port Colborne, Waynefleet, and Fort Erie than they are in Niagara on the Lake, St. Catharines, and that. The report really addressed nothing to get transit moving east-west. It really focused around the GO corridor. So has the region furthered that? Have they just used the Dillon Report as the basis and are adding to that to address the needs of those communities, or is this something that we're just going to kind of have to be in a wait-and-see mode?
Mr. Robinson.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the comment from the councillor. I think the Dillon Report lays out a very detailed plan of attack for the core, let's call it, the MOU members at the current point in time. But what I can say about the Dillon Report is that it is a blueprint, and it's a living document, if you will. It's a starting point from which the Linking Niagara Transit Committee, of which your mayor is a member, can start to tackle issues like that, where we look at the role, the contribution, and the future of feeder systems like the one that's here in Fort Erie towards that future of what Niagara's transit system looks like. So I will say for this council, and I've said this to a number of others that I've been at, omission or what have you from the Dillon report, this is not sort of the sole sort of form and effect upon which we are going to build the transit system. It does give us a blueprint, and I think through those further conversations with the Linking Niagara Transit Committee, I think this community is well represented at that committee, and I think those types of questions and concerns will be certainly part of that work going forward.
Councillor Nutt? Yeah, just to assist you, there has been talk about strategies of making sure that we link up with Port Colborne and Welland. We already have the link with Niagara Falls, but definitely many of our residents do have reasons to travel to Port Colborne and Welland in particular for health purposes. Do any other members of council have any questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Robinson. We appreciate you coming to us to talk about this, and we look forward to further information about this intermunicipal transit service.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Zanko, I wonder if I could give you the chair so that you can deal then with Mr. Feiertag's delegation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Edward Feiertag, could we please ask you to come to the podium? And Mr. Feiertag is here this evening as Secretary of the Crystal Ridge Community Center with a request for an interim agreement prior to July 18, 2018. Good evening, Mr. Feiertag.
Good evening, Councillor. Mayor Redicott, members of council and guests, my name is Edward Feiertag. I live at 4044 Avenue, and with me is Lan Casey Bruins of 107 Ridgeway Road, Crystal Beach. We are members of the Ridgeway Lions Club and specifically directors of the Crystal Ridge Community Center at 99 Ridge Road South in Crystal Beach. As you may well be aware, this is the 20th year of operation for us. As a bit of background, in 1993, the Ridgeway Lions Club had outgrown its hall in Prospect Point Road North and decided to pursue the construction of a new hall attached to the West End Arena, as it was then known. Fundraising, donations, and bingos began in 1994. The Crystal Ridge Community Center Corporation was formed and issued its first registration charity information return on March the 19th, 97. Meantime, Pirano and Raimondo Architects were retained. The present community center is evidence of our successful project that we are very proud of. The CRC is a not-for-profit charitable corporation operated by the community groups. It leases the community center next to Crystal Ridge Arena at 99 Ridge Road South Ridgeway. This center was originally built and donated by the Ridgeway Lions Club in an agreement reached with the town in 1997. The majority of the board is represented by Ridgeway Lions. The remainder of the board consists of members from other community groups such as Ridgeway Lioness and TASC that pay an annual membership. The Crystal Ridge Community Center is estimated to have over 100,000 users per year by the community. We define a use as one person attending the CCRC for an event. The hall is operated close to break even as possible. Any community group can become a member. Member's annual membership fee allows use of the director's room twice a month, use of the main hall three times a year for any function. Members also receive a storage area for their equipment. Members are expected to send representatives to the Crystal Ridge Board. Other users pay a rental charge set in reviewed annually by the board. It is the objective of the board to maximize hall use by charging users reasonable fee that will help cover operating costs. In the past, where there have been operating deficits that have been covered through loans by the Ridgeway Lions, the present amount of loans is $97,000. The Ridgeway Lions and Lioness have approximately 7,000 volunteer hours involved in the operation and care of the hall annually. Investments in fostering more active lifestyles are investments in the community. Ball hockey league involved 400 children weekly. Rentals of gym to adult groups for basketball, floor hockey, and exercise. The Ridgeway Lions meet twice weekly for yoga classes. Fit dance rentals for exercise by dancing twice weekly. Rentals to TASC. TASC introduced a program in the performing arts that gave handicapped individuals an opportunity to embrace creativity and express themselves freely. TASC believes in communal support-oriented programs that encourage individuals to interact socially, which in turn will enhance friendships and install awareness. The underlying idea of our organization is that therapy is isolation if ineffective. In fact, the sense of belonging to a community where members share interests, skills, and passions has proven to help people with disabilities develop lasting, nurturing relationships. TASC programs provide an environment in which children and adults will find the resources needed to grow socially and intellectually without ever being held back. Seniors' dinners held annually at the hall to promote socialization and interaction. Christmas dinners for those in need held by the Ridge Alliance and community churches to support the needs of residents of Fort Erie. Center rentals for local, provincial, and federal elections. Red Cross blood banks use the hall quarterly. Flu shot clinics. Canada Revenue Agency rentals for employee training and testing. Dance studio recitals. Fashion show by the Lioness. Graduation events held for local public and high schools. Providing a local center to rent for weddings and special occasions with liquor licensing under the laws of Ontario. Rented by multiple entertainment uses for shows to the public, community dinners held to benefit the community, supporting positive development of children and youth, uses the hall by Fort Erie Ball Hockey League, fundraising activity by Lions and Lioness, and stage presentations by TASC Niagara, donations of food to needy collected at the hall, rentals to help stimulate the local economy, trade vendor shows, motorcycle show, Christmas show by the Lioness. At this time, I'd like to defer to Lion Casey.
Mayor and Council, Lion Ed's done a good job of explaining all the groups and all the users of our hall. 20 years goes by very quick. It certainly has for me. The building is 20 years older, so are we. Our club is getting older, but we still have a good attendance. We still have a core of 30 of hardworking guys. We're not the only people on the board, however. The board is comprised of many charitable groups, the Lioness, members of TASC, and whoever is a member of CRCC. The CRCC board has been working with the towns and town staff very closely. Staff's been very good. Our lease is up, so we have to negotiate a new one. We thought it was a September 30th, 17 end, but actually two of our members that have passed away, Bob Morningstar and Carl Ghost, signed an extension regarding some small provision in the lease, so it's actually July of 18, sorry, that the new lease has got to be done up by. That's fine, and we're continuing to work with staff, but our concern is there are a couple of capital items. We've reported these to staff, and we're hoping they've had a chance to look at them and study them. We don't know when the boiler, there's one rooftop unit and a hot water tank. They're all in working order. They're working now. We're not saying they're going to break down, but if they do between now and August, we have a concern because we've had pricing done on that, and it's about $75,000 to replace those items. And we don't want to shock anybody. We want to be good stewards and report to you, especially in this transition, a problem that may occur. In addition, we have all these groups using the equipment. A lot of the equipment is 20 years old. For instance, the scoreboard was put up 20 years ago, and it needs to be redone. The chairs, tables, dishes, and things like that. So we're at a point now where we have to start replacing some of these items. So CRCC does its best to break even. What Ed was saying is we charge the group's rent, and then we charge users' rent. But some years when the economy's been bad, we don't get as many renters. It depends on how many weddings we can get in for the year, too. And we also have to say we want to rent to outsiders, but we want charitable groups using the hall. We want to get as much community use out of that hall as we can get. So getting it to break even is tough. You know, every year we lose a little bit, and then we have to do some of these other replacements. Last year, the town was good enough to give us some monies in the budget. And this year, we would ask if we could have a similar amount of what we were going to try to negotiate in the lease process, but haven't been able to yet because staff's been working with us, but our lease isn't up yet. Is the same amount of money as last year, which was $25,000. We run very thin. If you look at our financials, we've provided all our financial information to the town. We do a lot of the work ourselves as Lions and Lioness and some of the other groups. But the other groups are very involved, like TASC is very involved in their own membership. and they have to spend time on it. So it usually falls on the lions and lionesses to care for the hall. So what we thought we were doing tonight is being good stewards of the facility and tell you about the capital requirement, and then make sure that we're in time if there's going to be a budgetary request here that you would be acceptable to the town. If you really want to see the hall in operation, I know you all have next Monday off. Come, we're having a community dinner for the community. Come and see it and see how well it's used and how well it's attended by the public, and especially this group that's going to come in next week. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does any members of council have questions? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one question. You say that you have requested $25,000 from council.
We're requesting it tonight.
And tonight.
Because we were going to request it as part of our lease, that each year we would be given the amount. But the lease, we're in an in-between spot on the lease, because although we thought it would be September, this extension by the two dead members, and I'd like to say our records are perfect and we have a copy of everything, we didn't. So we were relying on the old lease instead of the actual date.
I was just wondering if you could just elaborate a little bit more about how you'll utilize that money.
Our operating loss for the year might be around $9,000 or $10,000. Chairs alone are like $120 each, and not to say we need to do them all right away, but we need to do that. A lot of the tables, dishes, kitchen equipment and stuff like that, things that are common chattels, say, for all groups to use. That's really what we'd be using it for.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other questions by members of council? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Lion Ed, Lion Casey, thank you for coming tonight. I'll bring up under new business request for consideration for your $25,000, but that won't go forward until our budget process in the new year.
Yes, we understand.
Okay, so you know the timelines associated with that, and it is subject to that process, but we'll at least get it included in there for deliberations. My question then speaks to the capital items that you referred to. Under current lease provisions, who's responsible for the replacement of those items?
My understanding is we're responsible for inside the hall, like the light maintenance, the repair, like painting and things like that, and replacement of this equipment and things like that. But the capital items and what we're negotiating in our new lease, and again, it's not set, but we've been talking to the town about it, is we're trying to figure out a dollar amount, like is it $1,000, $2,000, anything under that would be an operating expense. But when something major comes up, like the boiler or one of the roof systems or something like that, that's a capital item that the town would be responsible for. And in the past, the way the town's treated it, like the new roof and that, anything that's in the outside shell, they've taken care of. And really, because the equipment's so new, nothing's really come up. We're hoping this doesn't come up. But my fear is, like, if the boiler goes, it's just radiant heating. And so if the building freezes, it could be a serious situation. We'd have to get it fixed right away.
So my question then through you, Madam Chair, would be, if neither of those items go, and let's hope that's the case, the $25,000 that you're requesting.
That's more than enough. Yeah, we don't want the $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
We would like, you know, if the town would want to come in and send their own people, because you're building, of course, and your way. But we want to give you an idea that exposure, that risk is there.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Firetag and Mr. Broom.
Thank you.
For your presentation.
Thank you very much for allowing us the time. I would also like to have the Lions that are here with us this evening. And
sure.
Oh,
thank you very much. And I will pass the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. That's okay. That takes us to our next delegate, which is added to the agenda, and that's Councillor Terry Ball from West Lincoln, who's been a very effective spokesperson for the Township of West Lincoln. This is my second opportunity to see him in action. Good evening.
Thank you, Mary Redicroft. Good evening, Mary Redicroft, Council. My name is Terry Bell, and I'm a councilman in West Lincoln. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight on increasing the composition of regional government. I want to make it very clear that this process West Lincoln Council is embarking on, alongside with our regional, local area municipality partners, is not just about more governance, but rather it's about increasing the level of service for municipalities experienced tremendous growth starting in 2018. Mayor Joyner's request to add a regional councilor is a directive of West Lincoln Council and will benefit the residents of West Lincoln, as it will provide required representation at regional council to properly address West Lincoln issues and properly represent constituents. The township of West Lincoln will be facing tremendous growth during the years 2018 to 2022 term of council, right through to 2041, with a projected growth of 29,460 people and almost 10,000 new jobs. Economic development, planning, development, water, sewer, infrastructure, building of roads, bridges, and the creation of a complete sustainable community is top of the minds of West Lincoln and requires adequate representation to properly address these issues. The Greater Niagara Chamber of Commerce has indicated that a complete review should be undertaken, and I agree with that. However, I do not agree that there should be a delay in providing West Lincoln with the appropriate representation. Actually, the GNCC's letter has stated the same, and I quote, "We understand Mayor Joyner's request to add regional councillor to help him represent his constituency at council, and will note that to do so would bring West Lincoln's representation in line with what would be expected and given relevant size of the population. In short, adding an elected representative from West Lincoln absolutely 100% does equal better governance around the horseshoe, simply because there will be another set of eyes and ears at all committees and council meetings to digest the volume of material. I defy any mayor from Thurl, Lincoln, Grimsby, Port Colborne, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Pelham, or Fort Erie to stand up and say that the additional regional councillor is not a beneficial to the constituents of their respective communities. Quite simply, the workload and the reading is simply too much for one regional representative. I know I personally see the volumes of reading material that regional councillors have to consume in a three-week period. Those regional councillors' input is valuable. As the GNCC letter states, West Lincoln is right to explore the governance structure that best supports the ambitious goals of this council and the Council of West Lincoln. At this time, you can help West Lincoln achieve its goals and become more efficient in the deliverance of responsible government by approving the bylaw tonight. Fort Erie councillors and the GNCC will be given the word that West Lincoln will show leadership by asking for a change in the composition of regional government in the term 2018 to 2022. But right now, we need your help in West Lincoln. We see the addition of one regional representative as a start in the right direction. Let's work together as a family. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bell. Do any members of council have any questions of Mr. Bell? Thank you very much, sir. And this will be dealt with on the agenda later on.
Thank you.
So you may want to stick around.
Thank you very much.
That then takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda package? If not, Councillor Lubert, you have the resolution regarding consent agenda?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott. The council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of the items in the consent agenda? Councillor McDermott and then Councillor Lubert.
Yes, Your Worship.
Councillor McDermott, I wonder if you could wait until this goes up. Wait until the spaceship is lifted off. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just have one question through you to Mr. Walsh with regards to the Traffic Coordinating Committee minutes. Just want to clarify with Mr. Walsh, the two-hour parking that's downtown presently will now become 3 hours. My question is, this is just for the two-hour parking, correct?
Mr. Walsh.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, that's correct. There's a number of 15-minute spaces in front of the post office. I believe they will stay at the short-term limit.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
Thank you. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Just looking at the minutes from the Environmental Advisory Committee, there was a resolution that was brought forward by EAC, and it was the review of the lot on 4106 Garrison Road.
Was that carried, that resolution?
Yes, that was carried, yes.
Thank you.
Obviously, it's not in the minutes here, but I'm not quite sure as to how this all takes place. Now, our request was to notify the NPCA, and is that done through Matt Kernahan and our staff, or is that something that our committee is responsible for? And if it is staff, I'm just wondering if that was brought forward or sent to the NPCA.
I would think that would be through our staff. Ms. Dolch, can you comment on that?
Through to the counselor, that's correct. The staff liaison would handle that. I would have to confirm with Matt Kernahan whether that's been done at this point in time.
Yes, and then again, looking at the motion too, and we probably should have cleaned it up a little better at the meeting, but it says to ask the NPC to investigate whether the clearing was in contravention of the region's tree bylaw. And I'm wondering, should we contact the region as well as NPCA?
My understanding is that the NPCA is the region's agent, but Ms. Dolch can confirm that.
Yes.
Through you to the counselor, that is correct. The NPCA does review the region's tree bylaw on their behalf under the MOU at this point in time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had a couple of questions in regards to the correspondence, 9-2, number 2. In regards to first, the Niagara Region Audit Committee for the Town of Pelham, just a question for you or Councillor Nunziata. That is proceeding, I assume?
What's that?
The Audit Committee minutes that was passed by the region that we received notification that at Regional Council you guys passed.
Right. So, and Councillor Nunziata can clarify this, but the region has passed a resolution to notify our bonding agency with respect to perhaps inaccurate information relative to the debenture that was obtained by the Township of Pelham or Town of Pelham. And I don't know that there's any further action that the region is doing at this particular point in time other than that. But Councillor Nunziata, do you recall?
So as far as I recall what the resolution was, it was to disclose the September 5th audit that was alleged to have had occurred as per former Councillor Junkin. So anytime there's a material change, the province and as the lender and the region as the underwriter should have been notified. So the contention is that there is a material change in those circumstances. Therefore, we'd like to know what that material change was. As revealed in the audit presentation in Pelham last week, apparently 7 out of 7 financial indicators indicated high to moderate. Under normal circumstances, only 2 of those indicators would elicit a municipal supervisor from municipal housing, municipal affairs coming down. So the town of Pelham had 7 of 7 indicators. So again, we believe that there is a material change, and that's what the motion speaks to, and that's what the audit committee will be addressing.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. And my other question is in regards to the Niagara Regional Housing. Reading the third quarter report, it looks like there's been almost a 100% increase in arrears in housing rental payments. Is there any indication why that's occurring? Last year, it's a regional report. I just was wondering, the Niagara Regional Housing, I'm not sure which, if you or the mayor want to field this question, but it's...
I know His Worship sits on Public Health, which handles Niagara Regional Housing issues. If he has details around that, I'll defer to him.
I don't, but I can certainly take that under advisement and provide that information to you.
Thank you. I'm just wondering what... It seems a very large increase in the number of arrears that's occurring, and I'm wondering if that's having any kind of financial impact or strain on work orders getting done or anything like that that's occurring. Is there something going on within that organization that
you know,
we should be aware of or looking at?
Not that I believe would be troublesome. In fact, I understand that they've actually done very well recently, and this may simply be an indication of the economy. However, if you would provide that question to me, I will get an answer for you, and I can circulate that to all members of council.
Certainly. I'll just take a snippet of the report and send it to you via email.
Sure.
Thank you.
That'd be fine. Any other members of council? There being none, then I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to new business inquiries, and we have a number of memorandums with respect to a variety of issues. So let's deal with item 8. Does anyone have any questions with respect to the memorandum regarding the public transit service and the modification of the route schedule for now? Does anyone have any questions about the Waverly invasive species? There wasn't an attachment to the memo that came out, but we do have one now. And I understand that EAC will be providing an update to council. Is that correct, Councilor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Yes, they plan on maybe in January come to a regular council meeting. But given the fact that the list wasn't attached to this memorandum, I'm wondering if the list can be put on the town's website for the people that were looking at today's package that didn't have an opportunity to read it over.
Absolutely. The intention was that it should be on the town website, so the clerk has indicated she'll make sure that happens. With respect to the request for additional full-time position in bylaw enforcement, which would go to the budget committee, any questions on that, Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mayor. Just clarification that nothing has to be done to get that referred to for budget deliberations. There wasn't anything in the memo that specifically said it was going to be coming forward.
I don't believe so.
To your worship, the councillor. No, absolutely not. We're going to include that as a supplementary to the budget.
So just on that topic, Mr. Kuga, do we have off-hours bylaw enforcement now, that is, other than during usual business hours during parts of the year?
Yes, we do. Yep.
All right, so this would simply further that if council decided at budget time to allocate money for a new or an additional bylaw enforcement officer.
Correct. In the summer as well, we hire summer by law enforcement as well. So this would complement that person as well.
Thank you. And the next memorandum relates to the Hazelwood draft plan of subdivision. Councilor Lubberts?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Reading it over, I know that there was some discussion about sections of the Niagara Region's policy, official plan. I think section 7C states that if the draft plan of approval was approved by a certain date, then it was exempt from further EIS or updates. And I understand where they're coming, but when I read the official plan from the region, there is no mention of anything when it comes to species that may become at risk or species that may be of concern once the any EIS is done. And I'm just wondering if maybe we need to go to the province and to the federal government and ask them, M&R, if there's something that is in their policy where if a new species is identified either at risk or of concern, then if there's then municipalities would request that there be an update to any draft plans, given the fact that nothing in the development has started yet. So now that we have something, especially obviously we were discussing at the last meeting when this year came up about bats, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted an update, so that they would do a bat study.
So my understanding is that the current rules within the region are that if a plan of subdivision is given draft approval, at that point, any further environmental concerns no longer are applicable. That's what was applied in this. That's what staff was recommending when we dealt with this in May. We dealt with that by agreeing to extend the time to comply with the conditions of draft plan approval, but requested a scoped EIS. Ms. Dolch, I don't know if there's provincial legislation that would, in a situation where a draft approval had been provided and some significant period of time goes by, and we have some plans of subdivision here that go back 20 years at least, what if over that period of time some type of wildlife or plant species became known. Is there any provincial regulation that you're aware of?
Thank you, Your Worship. The region's document, right now we follow the region's policies to guide us in this regard. Obviously, we do have the ability when the draft plan comes forward for extension at that point to not approve that extension, at which point in time then they do have to follow the new policies moving forward. Should something happen on the site, the draft plan is extended and something is identified on the site, and it is an endangered species, there is the Endangered Species Act. It is a legislation document, but with regard to this development, it has been draft plan approved, so there's no further study required based on the policies of the region at this point in time.
Well, subject to the resolution that we passed in May,
yes,
which requires it. So should a species at risk become apparent on the parcel, to your knowledge, there's no provincial legislation that would provide protection or federal legislation that would provide protection?
There is the Endangered Species Act. So obviously, right. if there is an endangered species, there is the that act in place.
That would override any planning approvals at the local level?
Not planning approvals, no. Because it's their responsibility. It's a separate act and their responsibility to make sure they adhere to that act. So if they do identify a species on site, it has been identified by somebody on site, then they would be liable to ensure that they meet that Endangered Species Act and those regulations.
Regardless of whatever the planning approvals may have been?
Correct.
Okay. Councillor Lubberts, does that assist?
Yes. So I think what I'm hearing then is because of the recognition of there's some problems with some species of bats, then that will have to be addressed.
So this is a memorandum that was requested just to provide us with some background information.
Yeah.
We've already dealt with this issue.
Yeah.
This issue was dealt with in May. We agreed to extend the draft plan approval to April of 2019, subject to a renewed EIS. So this memorandum is just for information for us. And does anyone else have any other questions on this? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Worship. I plan to bring forward a notice of motion maybe 10 minutes from now if we get there, for reconsideration of this specific to that EIS scope, just given the additional information that has come forward. But I'll leave that for the notice of motion period to explain.
That's fine.
Thank you.
That would be appropriate. That takes us then to the next item, which was added by addendum, and that relates to the West Lincoln issue. And Councilor Passero, you have that resolution.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Zanko, that the Council of the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie consents to the passage of bylaw number 2017-108 of the Regional Municipality of Niagara, being a bylaw to increase the composition of regional council by adding an additional councillor for the Township of West Lincoln.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that resolution? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm going to support this because I think that I believe West Lincoln and Wayne Fleet are the only two that do not have two representatives, but in supporting this, I'm going to hope that in the future, when it comes time to reduce the number of regional councillors, that we'll have West Lincoln support to peel away some of that bloated government that's there.
Are there any other questions or comments? Councillor McDermott.
I believe they should have their opportunity here with the extra member, just based on the way council was set up today. However, it's also my hope that in the future that we can reduce the number of members on regional council before we get to parliamentary size. And so I'll be supporting this evening.
Any other councillors? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. How many representatives does West Lincoln have now?
One.
Just one?
And Wayne Fleet has one.
And the population?
The current population as a result of the last census, and it's in this report that was part of our package, indicates 14,500.
So what I'm seeing, how will that affect in the future now? They're 14,000 and we're around 30,000. So is that going to just snowball into other municipalities saying, well, now we are similar size, we need similar representation?
Well, it's been a particular issue for the city of St. Catharines for some time, which has a population of 133,000. Niagara Falls has 88,000. Welland has 52,000. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, and are there, they have a representation?
They have
towards their population?
So Welland has two regional councillors plus a mayor. They have 52,000 people. Niagara Falls has three regional councillors plus a mayor. They have 88,000 people. And City of St. Catharines has six councillors and a mayor. Or do they have five and a mayor? They have lots and a mayor. I think it's six and a mayor. So they have they would have a total of seven. Their population is 133. So nine times the population of West Lincoln.
Okay, thank you. I just curious as to how that's going to go. That's my concern, is that now all the other municipalities are going to say, well, based on that, we need more, and then it just gets bigger and bigger. So as long as at the regional level, everybody understands that this is not something that we're going to, that's going to snowball into building a bigger empire down the region.
So in order for it to change, there has to be the triple majority. The region has to pass a bylaw that would call for change. That change then has to be adopted by the majority of municipalities, that is 7 out of 12 that represent a majority of the population. So every time there's a change, there's the triple majority that has to be dealt with. So the likelihood of major change, I think, is questionable, but that's just my view. Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think in this instance, the representation by population is flawed to begin with. When you're looking at regional issues, it doesn't matter whether there's 12,000 or 300,000 municipality. GO Train, public transit, water, wastewater, social housing, those are all issues that the face of the issue doesn't change dependent on size of population in a municipality. So to me, the crux of this issue is what should be the base starting point of any municipality. And I think it's unfair for any municipality, especially the mayor of any municipality, to be charged with wearing both of those hats. Because I think the workload is such, whether it's 12,000 people or 60,000 people, you need two individuals to do those two distinct roles. Where it goes from that, will that ever change? I don't know. Maybe regional government should just be the mayor and one elected regional councillor. Maybe we shouldn't have two or three from Welland or five or six from St. Catharines, because really the population at that point, it doesn't have any effect on the issues and how the regional government translates into the municipal governments. There is a workload there, but let's face it, the number of phone calls for someone's recycling bin going missing is not going to increase and warrant another regional councillor. As municipal councillors, we field most of those phone calls first anyways. That's just the nature of the beast. So I'm in support of this just because I think from a fairness point of view, no municipality should have one elected representative having to wear both of those hats all the time. But as far as having three, four, five, and six, it's just we started at a certain point, and some have used that rep by pop basis to get an unfair advantage at regional council. And there really is no reason to have those extra representatives there when you look at the regional issues being dealt with. Thank you.
Just as a follow-up, then, your suggestion would be that Wayne Fleet should also have a mayor and a regional councillor?
From my perspective, I would have no issue with that. I really don't. I think whether you're a municipality of 10,000 or 40,000, you know better than anyone, Your Worship. The responsibilities of being a mayor, that's a full-time job in and of itself, and you layer the regional government aspect on top of that, especially with the complexities of the issues that we're currently facing. Your number of constituents, I really don't think drives the busyness of what happens to either one of those positions. It's the nature of the position itself.
Thank you. Any other councillors? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? I'm opposed. That's carried. So that takes us then to other items of new business. And Councillor Passero, you had mentioned something about CRCC, perhaps a motion to refer their request for funding to the budget meeting of January 24th.
Yes, Your Worship. I'd like to see that be included for budget deliberations.
Okay, so I'm going to hand the chair back to Councillor Zanko for you to bring that motion if you wish.
Did you want to repeat that motion, Councillor Sarah? I'm sorry.
Yes, Madam Chair. So I'm looking to have the CRCC request of a $25,000 allocation be referred for our budget considerations. And I'm guessing in regular council, I'd need a seconder to facilitate that request.
Is there a seconder? Councillor Butler?
No, not notice of motion, just new business, just a budget referral item. Budget
yeah.
Does anybody have any comments or questions? Seeing none, I will hand the chair back to you now.
We have to vote.
Oh, all in favor? That carries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Your Worship.
Now I get the chair back.
Now you get the chair
Thank
back.
You very much. Okay, that is there any other items of new business or any other inquiries? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a question. We received a letter a couple of days ago or over the weekend, rather, from the Beachcombers asking for a budgetary item to be considered as well. Their letter to me asked if we could increase that budget item. Is that something that I can bring up now, or should I wait?
That's not on our agenda, but I must have missed that email. Mr. Cookett.
Honestly, I didn't see it either.
I wonder if that was, I wonder if that was forwarded perhaps to you as the ward counselor. Okay, why don't you, bring that forward to Mr. Cookett. Okay. Any other items or inquiries? Okay, then that takes us to motions, and Councillor McDermott has a motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler. Whereas the Niagara Parks Commission considered options for the operation or closing of its marina on the Niagara River in Fort Erie near Millage Creek, and whereas in 2005 the NPC agreed to work with the town of Fort Erie to permit the Fort Erie Economic Development and Tourism Corporation to undertake a request for proposals process for the expansion and enhancement of the marina and potential developments of the land between the Niagara Parkway and Cairns Crescent. And whereas a result of the cooperative efforts of the MPC, Town of Fort Erie, and the EDTC, the submission of a successful proponent for expansion and enhancement of the marina and the development of a resort on the adjacent lands was accepted by the MPC, and a memorandum of understanding was executed by the MPC and Warren Deck Investments Limited on February 18, 2007. And whereas over the next 4 years, WDAC fulfilled its responsibilities pursuant to the MOU, including operating the marina, obtaining appropriate land use approvals and in-work engineering works. And whereas the MPC did not extend the MOU, which it has claimed expired on or about January 26, 2012, despite Warren Deck's desire to continue with the MOU and the development of the marina and adjacent land, and whereas since 2012, the MPC has embarked on a number of processes with a view to proceed with the marina resort development at the Millers Creek Marina, and whereas the MPC's most recent initiative resulted at the end of August 2017 in no proponent submitting a response to the MPC's request for proposals for development at the marina. And whereas the MPC maintains that it continues to be committed to marina enhancements and development on the adjacent lands, but there seems to be no forward progress in that direction. And whereas the Council of the Town of Fort Erie understands that Warren Deck remains interested in proceeding to develop the marina and adjacent lands at Millers Creek Marina, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Town of Fort Erie reiterates its continuing support for the expansion and enhancement of the marina and a resort development on that adjacent lands at the NPC Millers Creek Marina, and further, Council urges the NPC to engage with Warren Deck to move forward with the marina and resort development at Millers Creek Marina without any further delays, and further, that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the chair of the MPC for action, and further, that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Premier of the Province of Ontario, the Minister of Tourism, Culture and Sport, the Minister of Infrastructure, the Chair of the Region of Niagara, the MPPs in Niagara, the Honorable Rob Nicholson, MP, and Warren Deck Investments Limited, and further, that a copy of this resolution be circulated to the mayors of the local municipalities in Niagara for their support.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Did you wish to speak further to that, or have you pretty well covered it all there?
I think it's pretty well covered here. I guess the gist of it all is we wonder why Warren Deck's still hanging around. And I think that their commitment to this marina, I think they showed an extreme amount of patience. And I'm hoping that the MPC takes this seriously and begins to move on with this project.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address this particular motion? Councillor Nutton and Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I reiterate the stance that Councillor McDermott has brought forward, and again, I can't say enough, and I know I've said this several times at AMO in meetings with Minister, this is the only public marina on the Upper Niagara. There is a tremendous amount of tourism value around this marina that can be obtained to the benefit of the people of Fort Erie, provided we see some action. This has gone on for far too long, 12 years now. This investment should have been made long ago, and this opportunity can be a crown jewel for Fort Erie. It could literally draw in millions of additional people for the simple fact that it is the only public marina on the Canadian side on the Upper Niagara, and it has significant value, and the inability and inaction of the NPC to move this forward is just baffling. And I hope that along with yourself and the other mayors that we'll see some progress made on this in the very short future. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. I think Councillor Nutt used an appropriate word, which is baffling, and that's the word that I would use to describe the most recent RFP process. And to me, that's the crux of this, which is no proposals coming forward definitely doesn't mean there was no interest. I think it spoke more to a flawed RFP system and how that was managed versus proponents that are waiting out there that would capitalize on something if given the opportunity and if given something that actually made a little bit of sense to move this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just looking at some of the wording in the whereas, I think it was the fourth or fifth whereas, where we're claiming that the NPCA didn't extend it because it claims that the MOU expired.
Correct.
Did the MOU expire or did it not expire?
That's the position of the Niagara Parks Commission.
And can we get some clarification from Niagara Parks Commission on that? Because
that's their position. Their position is that it expired, and they notified Warren Dack that it had expired. So it had to be renewed. It had been renewed prior to that. There were periodic renewals, and they, the Parks Commission took the position that as of January 26, 2012, without renewal, it lapsed.
So if it expired, then they went through another RFP program on process by themselves, because I think the first RFP process was done by EDTC.
Correct.
And I'm just have to question whether why Warren Dack didn't submit another proposal to the NPC. I mean,
so
whether it was flawed or not doesn't matter. It was there, and they didn't bring anything forward.
So there were two, this is actually the second RFP since 2012. The first one had a three-pronged process whereby there were requests of interest, requests for qualifications, and that process ran into difficulties there. And so that was scrapped and a new RFP was put together, and that was the most recent one that ended up in August of 2017 without any proponents bringing a proposal. Why Warren Dack didn't would best be answered by Warren Dack. I don't know the answer to that.
Yes. Well, I think before we move forward with making requests to the NPC, I think we need to find out a little more background information about the situation between them and Warren Dack, because from what I've read and from what I've heard, right, there were some problems between all the parties involved. And so now, I mean, I'm in favor of the NPC moving forward with something down at Miller's Creek, but I don't know that I'm in favor of telling them that they have to engage with Warren Dack, and because I don't know that we're in a position where we should be telling NPCA who they deal with when they're developing their property. If there's some problems between them and Warren Dack that we don't know of, then NPC needs to deal with that themselves. I don't think that we're in a position to be telling them that they have to deal with Warren Dack.
I think there's a distinction between what we can tell them and what they do, but I think it should be clear what our position is as a council. And there has been in the past dialogue between Warren DAC and the Niagara Parks Commission. I can't provide you with particulars of that, nor can I tell you what I know the status of the discussions to be, but this is a resolution that indicates what our position is with respect to what we think, if this passes, should happen. The Niagara Parks Commission can do what it wishes, but we can at least express what our position is.
Well, my position is that we encourage NPC to move forward with the redeveloping the Miller's Creek Marina, but I'm not in favor of telling them that they have to deal with Warren DAC. If there's some problems with Warren DAC between them and Warren DAC, I don't know that I'm comfortable with telling them who they have to deal with.
Any other councillors? There are no other questions or comments. I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. So that takes us to reports. And Councillor Passero, you have the resolution with respect to report CAO 14-2017.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. The Council receives the Accessibility Status Report 2017, attached as Appendix 1 to Administrative Report Number CAO 14-2017, as the annual Accessibility Status Report required under the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act.
Thank you. And Ms. Bradman is not available, but did indicate that Councillor Passero, since you're on the committee, you may be able to respond to any questions that councillors may have. Any questions or comments? Off the hook. I'll call a question. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. Councillor, you have the next resolution. Sorry. Oh, I missed a few pages. It is you. Yes. Okay. I wonder if you could make reference to the report itself in the body of the resolution.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council receives report COS 08-2017 for information purposes.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? Oh, sorry. This is COS 08-2017.
That's the Municipal Act.
That's correct.
Elections Act, yes.
Yes.
Just a couple of clarifications, if I could.
Sure.
Under the overview of key changes, the nomination period, it said nominations may only be filed between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. on, I guess that's May 1st or July 27th.
No, that's on July the 27th.
Yeah, that closes at 2 p.m. and nominations. Okay. And then the next sentence, it says that everybody has to be there by 2 o'clock in order to register as soon as possible after 2 o'clock. And I'm assuming that if there's a lineup after 2 o'clock, you can still, as long as you're there before 2 o'clock, you can, is that what we're saying here?
Let's ask the clerk.
Yes, that's correct, Councillor Lubert. As long as you're present in front of the clerk, if there's a lineup, you just need to be there by 2 p.m. and she will accept your nominations afterwards.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And then the next point there, new nomination requirements, the 25 endorsements. How do we, it says a person must be eligible to vote as of the date of the endorsement, right? And are we going to be provided with a voter's list to make sure that all 25 are eligible to vote? Because I'd hate to see a candidate come forward with two people that aren't eligible, but they thought they were eligible.
Madam Clerk?
The Ministry will be providing a prescribed form, which will provide for the 25 endorsements. There will also be a declaration that's required to be signed by each person signing an endorsement. We haven't seen those forms as yet.
Yes, I understand the form, but it says here that the person must be eligible to vote, but if we look in the report goes on. Further in the report, it says that the we're not going to get the voters list until September. So how do we know that the person is eligible to vote?
Well, presumably if they live within the municipality, if they're an adult, and if they're a Canadian, they can vote.
They will be signing a sworn declaration that they are eligible to vote. We'll be relying on that.
But will they, just to follow up on Councillor Lubert's concern, the criteria for eligibility to vote will be made known to candidates? Potential candidates?
Yes, absolutely, Your Worship.
Okay. Councillor Lubert, it's back to you.
So what I'm trying to do is just trying to avoid that a candidate comes forward and they find out that they only have 20 eligible, and they brought in 25, but only 20 of the 25 were eligible, and that is what I want to try to avoid. And I don't know that I have the answer that all 25 people, I mean, yeah, you live in Fort Erie, and you, but are you eligible to vote is another story. So
the criteria for eligibility.
On the voters list, are they going to say, well, you're not on the voters list, or you weren't on the last voters list?
If you live in Fort Erie, and you're a Canadian, and you're an adult, I believe you're entitled to vote. If there are other criteria, that will be made available through the clerk's office so that any potential candidate will be able to satisfy themselves as to the criteria. So when they go forth to get these endorsements and ask people to sign the declarations, I'm presuming the declaration will indicate what the criteria is, so that signing the affidavit for the declaration should be made known, because you're right, otherwise there could be lots of problems, but I do believe that's how that will be addressed.
Okay, all right, thank you. And just the third-party advertising, just to clarify how that will work, corporations or trade unions can't contribute directly, but they, is this saying that they can pay for the advertising? Is that how that works?
You can do their own advertisement. Madam Clerk, can you give us a synopsis of that section of the report?
I can give you some, yes. This is a very new regulation, and there's going to be much more education on it. But you're right, the candidates can no longer accept contributions directly from a corporation or a trade union. So what the ministry has come up with instead is this third-party advertising, which is can be an individual, a corporation, or a third party, or a trade union.
Okay, and just to clarify as to the amount of contribution they can make, their amount of contribution would be no different than an individual, which I can't remember what that was last term.
Madam Clerk?
The maximum contribution from a single contributor is $1,200, and then from contribution to two or more is $5,000. Insofar as their own contributions, there are still more regulations to be coming out, so I don't have those numbers at this time. And so we will be providing that information as we receive it.
And that will follow, if they're paying the advertising, then they're only allowed to pay for so much of the advertising.
Yes, they will be receiving a kit, much like candidates do, that lay it all out for them.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on that report? All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. Takes us to report PDS 93, and Councillor Butler, you have that resolution?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council direct staff to submit future bylaws to stop up and close part of the Gordon Avenue unopened road allowance, Plan 433 and 434, following completion of a reference plan, and further that Council authorizes staff to retain DW Howard Realty Limited brokerage to market parcels 1 to 3 as detailed in Appendix 1 of Report Number PDS 93. 2017 as full marketability land, and further that Council directs that the cost of a reference plan be added equally to the sale price of parcels 1 to 3 and the cost of relocation of Canada Post community mailbox in front of parcel 3 be added to the sale price of parcel 3.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just for some clarification on how the whole process is going to work, what we're looking at here is just the listing of the property, and then any other real estate agent can sell it and under MLS or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
And in the future, Madam Clerk, I would suggest that if we're going to have some type of tie-breaking mechanism, probably be best if we make sure that everybody knows what it is in advance, in the event there is a tie. Any other questions or comments, Councillor Passero?
To that, Your Worship, I'm still not 100% comfortable in this because I don't think it's what we advertised. We gave a date that said get them in by this date, and the parties that were being considered did get them in by this date. And I just don't know how we can go back to them and tell one, well, you didn't get it in as early as the other group did on that date. I mean, there was no time frame specified. So it just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way.
Did you have some suggestion?
I'm not opposed to going the coin toss method. If they want to be present, flip the coin. I mean, looking at all of these firms, this is not going to make or break their their year end. And I just think in the order of transparency and fairness, we gave a deadline that wasn't time sensitive. And I think that we need to honor both parties involved that are being considered and let the coin toss decide who it's going to go to. I would offer that as an amendment, Your Worship.
Okay, so that would be to the second paragraph. So we'd be authorizing staff to determine the marketing brokerage between DW Howard Realty Limited and the other one was, who was the other one? Was it Royal LePage? By a coin toss. You got that, Madam Clerk? As full marketability land. Does that pretty much capture it, Councillor Cicero?
Yes, Your Worship. Thank
you. Do you have a seconder? Councillor Zanko? Everybody clear on the proposed amendment? Would you like the clerk to read it, Councillor Luberts? Madam Clerk?
Yep. Council authorizes staff to determine the marketing agent between DW Howard Realty Limited Brokerage and Royal LePage by a coin toss to market parcels 1-3 is detailed in Appendix 1 of report number PDS 93-2017 as full marketability land.
All right. Everybody clear? Beg your pardon? We can do that with both parties present. That's a friendly amendment to the amendment. Anyone have any questions with respect to the amendment? All those in favor? That is carried. So we have the amended report recommendations on the floor. Any further questions or comments, Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just a suggestion. I'm not going to make no amendments or anything, but just a suggestion maybe in the future that with the sale of lands through the municipality, what if we did something like a yearly bid where they, beginning of each year, all parties can submit something, and then that way we don't get bogged down with this type of thing where we got deadlines. We do it at the beginning, and then any listings that come up, they get the listings, and then anybody's free to sell. I'm wondering if we could do that in the future.
That's something that the clerk can consider, and then seems to make sense. Okay, you're not making an amendment. Mr. Cookett?
The councillor was pointing at me, so I'll chime in. I believe I'll have to check our land sale policy. I don't know if it allows us to do that. I don't believe it does. So we have to do it on an individual basis, but I'll verify that and let all of council know. But if it is a good idea, if we can, then it's best that we just do an annual tender process for that.
Okay. Anything else? I'm going to call the question on the amended report recommendations. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us then to PDS 97. Councillor Butler, you have the resolution for that.
I do. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council receives for information purposes report number PDS-97-2017 regarding setbacks for medical marijuana grow and production facilities.
Are there any questions or comments, Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. This information report was prodded by a specific parcel of land on the Garrison Road, and I wonder if we could just ask Ms. Dolch, who prepared the report, which was a very good report, if in her research she was able to find out more about the well water possibility of contamination from leaching from chemicals that would be used for the grow up, if the municipality has any power to do something about it.
Ms. Dolch.
Through you to the councillor. No, I haven't done any research on that. I can look into that further. In terms of well water, I'd have to get in touch with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority as well to talk about the groundwater in that area and any protection measures that they may have.
I think that's really important because the neighborhood on Nye Road, which backs onto this particular parcel of land on Garrison, will be experiencing runoff water from their own wells because they don't have access to regional water or town water, so they'll be drilling wells and using that as part of the process. So I think it's really important that we do research this a little bit further to find out how best we can prevent any problems from occurring in the future if this project goes through on that particular parcel of land.
I'm wondering as well whether there might be some provincial regulations or federal regulations, Health Canada regulations with respect to that, Ms. Dolch.
Through you to the councillor. My thought is, I was just thinking about this, and I think we do have the ability to ask for studies if there's a concern on well water, the drawdown on well waters. We do have the ability to ask for that study as part of the medical marijuana production facility site plan agreement process. We can look at that and some other factors in terms of environmental factors. So we can look at that moving forward if that's a concern.
Councillor Butler?
It is a concern, and I'd really appreciate that. How do we make sure that that happens?
Ms. Dolch?
I apologize. Could you repeat that
question? The question was, Councillor Butler agrees that's a good idea and wonders how we can assure that we'll move forward. Will you look into that and provide us with a further memo with respect to that aspect of this?
Yes, I will. We'll look at that in terms of site plan requirements for medical marijuana facilities and provide you with an update on how we'll catch all those.
Thank you. Are there any other questions with respect to this, Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Ms. Dolch. Just out of curiosity, who enforces the regulations pertaining to medical marijuana facilities?
Ms. Dolch?
Through you to the Councillor. It's Health Canada. Health Canada regulates and issues licenses for medical marijuana facilities. All we have is our site plan control guidelines, which require medical marijuana facilities to go through that process with us. But other than that, it's regulated through them.
Okay. And further to that. So, for example, I see that there's a new regulation that would require air purification systems to ensure that there's no odor. So if there were odor, and there probably still will be because I know that currently there's a facility where there's a lot of odor, and I would anticipate the same regulations are in place. How long would it take for Health Canada to come down to look at that?
Ms. Dolch?
To the counselor, I'm not sure it would be an enforcement mechanism. I don't know how many enforcement staff officers they have to enforce the regulations. It's relatively new as issues are coming up. You know, you'll start to see maybe some additional enforcement being provided by Health Canada. But at this point, I couldn't give you an estimate on how long. All we could do is should there be concerns, we could follow up.
Okay. And just one additional question. And you might not even have this. It's just something I just thought of. How many other facilities or locations currently do we have in town that grows marijuana legally for medicinal purposes?
Ms. Dolch?
Through the counselor, we don't have any at this point in time that have been licensed. We do have a couple that have been approved through our site plan approval process, and they're just waiting for their final licensing from Health Canada.
Okay, thank you. No, that's everything.
Anyone else? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us to notices of motion. Councillor Cyril.
Thank you, Worship. Based on the correspondence we received from the proponent of Hazelwood as well as the staff memo, I just wanted to give notice of motion for reconsideration of council recommendations approved in PDS 36-2017 regarding the Hazelwood subdivision. And if I could just say two sentences about it, Your Worship, but I'll leave the balance for when that does come forward in the new year. Just based on the information we've been presented, we've asked the proponent to do an EIS that, given the scope that we've recommended and the timelines associated with it, cannot be done within the provisions of the time frame we give him for the extension. So something has to budge somewhere, so I'm hoping that we can reconsider that in the new year. The EIS may stay, but maybe draft plan goes out a little bit further. Maybe there's a compromise to be had as far as the scope, but I'll talk to the developer and have them provide some additional information prior to that coming back.
So, Madam Clerk, when is the next regular council meeting? Is that January the 22nd or the 5th?
That's correct, Your Worship.
22nd, because there is no meeting on the 8th.
Pardon me?
There is no council meeting on January 8th. The 15th will be committee, so that would be the January the 22nd, Councillor Passero?
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you.
Any other notices of motion? Madam Clerk, I wish to give notice of a motion to request staff to review the town's official plan, zoning bylaw, and other planning documents and provide council with recommendations regarding policies and procedures that could be considered in the creation of a housing action plan in cooperation with the Niagara region and nonprofit organizations in Niagara, including short-term and long-term strategies to address affordable housing issues. And that would be returnable on January the 22nd. If there are no other notices, we have one bylaw that needs to be dealt with separately, and that is 134 for 2017. Are there any others that anyone wishes removed from the package? If not, then Councillor Luberts, you have the first and second reading for the bylaw package, so could you proceed with the package, last 134?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 135-2017 to delegate authority for tax collection powers and duties and to repeal bylaw number 6-2003. Bylaw 136-2017 to delegate authority with respect to the Assessment Review Board. Bylaw 137-2017 to amend zoning bylaw number 12990, 327 Windmill Point Road and Zero Dominion Road, Lee White, Cortec Group Agent, Janice and Jeff Klein Owners. Bylaw 138-2017 to amend the Management, Supervisory and Exempt Employees Salary Admission Plan, bylaw number 54-2017. Bylaw 139-2017 to authorize the entry into a Clean Water and Wastewater Fund, Ontario, transfer payment agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in right of Ontario as represented by the Ministry of Infrastructure. And bylaw 140-2017 to authorize the entry into an agreement with the City of St. Catharines for fire dispatch services is given first and second reading.
All those in favor and opposed, that bylaw package as amended is on the floor for questions or comments. If none, then Councillor Nutt, you have a third and final reading for the bylaw package as amended.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw 135-2017, 136-2017, 137-2017, 138-2017, 139-2017, and 140-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor and opposed, that is carried. Councillor Luberts, can we go back to you to do first and second reading for bylaw 134, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 134-2017 to authorize the execution of a subdivision agreement with West Wind Niagara Development, Inc., Alfred Beam, The Oaks at 6 Mile Creek. Be given first and second reading.
All those in favor and opposed, that is carried. Are there any questions or comments with respect to that bylaw? Councillor Nutt, third and final reading, please.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw 134-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments now? There are none. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us then to the next resolution. Councillor Zanko, you have that regarding the confirmatory bylaw.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw number 141-2017 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on December 11th, 2017, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 141-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings coming up? If there are none, then Councillor Nutt, I'm going to ask you to adjourn this meeting for us.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that the Council adjourns at 8.03 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting in Council on January 22nd, 2018.
All those in favor? That is unanimous. Thank you.